Today is August 1st, 2017. I know that the devil hates me. I have read all the stories of persecution. I know his tricks, at least many of them. And I know that he hates and despises what I'm doing. And I told Persis from the very beginning, even before we got married, I'll have texts that prove it in WhatsApp, that the devil is going to make it his mission to destroy our marriage. Because if he can destroy our marriage, he can take down the entire ministry. He can make me look like I'm a complete spiritual failure and nobody should listen to anything that I am saying or preaching. This is very obvious. If he can destroy, first of all, this amazing promise that God gave me, I waited for 5.5 years, it leaves me looking like, what are you, some kind of an idiot? You see, it makes me look foolish. So I've told her this in the very beginning, that we have to be very, very careful and watch out and trust God for protection. And slowly but surely, he has worked in a foothold that then became what is now a stronghold. And I saw it grow over time. And again, it all started with this root of spiritual difference that we had between ethnic Israel and spiritual Israel. Persis got deeply offended that I did not see spiritual Israel the same way she did. This allowed her to have a root grow into her heart against me. And from there, we would find other things, and this root just continued to grow and grow and grow. Persis is really good about the thing with my parents, is just the devil's constantly trying to stir up. I mean, I have to add this one other point. I had a thought yesterday that I wish I could yell out, please, everyone, just leave me alone so I can do the Lord's work. And that's what it feels like when you're doing the work of God like this. You are constantly antagonized and threatened, accused, distracted, pushed at, zapped at, pulled at, kicked at, spoken to. It's constantly, he's bringing somebody to mess with you. And you want to just go, devil, will you just shut up and leave me alone so that I can do the work that God has asked me to do? But that's not the way it works. God has been pleased to allow there to be tremendous amounts of opposition and antagonism to his work. In the end, his power is made perfect in all of our weakness. And he gets glorified. So even now, he'll be glorified through making a recording like this. As you can see, all the forces of hell conspiring against me from every direction. Every day I get accused of something online, and this person says that, and my parents say this, and this person does this, and my poor wife coming against me. It's all against Stop Michael. Whatever we can do, stop this guy from telling people they need to get out of their sin and they need to get into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. They need to live holy, faithful, trusting him, believing him, walking with him, honoring him. That you can't call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ if you're not walking like him. You cannot live in the world and say, I'm going to heaven. There's no such Christianity. It's false. And the devil hates me for telling this message. Especially he hates me because people by the thousands are listening. The testimonials that are coming in are extraordinary. Not these Joel Osteen type messages where, oh, I was really so encouraged by your word, and oh, this was great, and I'm so glad to hear God wants me to live in a $10 million house, and I'm so glad that God wants to fulfill my dreams and my plans and my goals. To hell with that message. Men of corrupt mind who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. Their end will be what their actions deserve. And instead, I'm telling people, turn. And people are turning from this life. They're giving up worldliness. They're giving up money. They're giving up sins, addictions, pleasures, pursuits of other things. They're giving up their worries and their fears. Men and women are actually turning to the Lord Jesus Christ and finding fullness. It's incredible. It's happening all over the world. People are giving up businesses, up marriages, giving up court battles, giving up all kinds of amazing things. You shall know a tree by its fruit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God has been pleased to produce fruit through this tree. Good fruit. Fruit that will endure. I have appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will endure. Thank you, Jesus. John 15. So that's the background of what I've been going on while I'm having these challenges with my wife. So this morning, I say to her, "Good morning. I wish to repent of something I said to you. I was convicted of this in prayer and have confessed my sin of unbelief to God. Now I wish to confess to you. Because we have such opposite views spiritually on major matters, an example of one, you believe I am only working for my honor, and I believe I am only working for His honor, and therefore He has honored me. Two, you believe I just married you and sacrificed for you so I could be honored as a Savior, whereas I believe I married you because God gave you to me to love and work alongside of me. Three, you believe I only want to tell our marriage story because I'm trying again to gain honor for myself as the Savior, whereas I believe I am honoring my Savior by proclaiming His wonderful deeds and power in our life. Four, you believe I only want to fellowship with other believers to gain followers for myself, whereas I believe I want fellowship with others to gain more faithful followers of Christ through our example. As a result of these terribly sharp differences, I have felt much pain and despair in my heart, which led to moments of hopelessness, where I have then found myself saying to you several times, 'Please, go ahead and go back to India just as you desire. You will indeed be more happy without me.' I want to be honest. This is, all capital letters, not faith. This is only how I felt in the moment, because I am hurting and disapproved and rejected by you as a selfish, self-honoring, false Christian and heretic. This from the wife I love so much and have sacrificed so much for with joy. Please let me be clear. I do not want you to go to India, and I do not think you will be happier without me. Currently, perhaps yes, you may feel that way, but I desire reconciliation, and I believe God for it and His timing. We are in an extremely terrible conflict right now, where we do not see eye to eye at all, and you disapprove my personal walk with Christ and my public work for Him. You write in your own email to me, quote, 'You are persecuting me like Haman.' This is Persis writing to me. 'You are persecuting me like Haman because I don't approve of you. You believe I write,'" now this is me writing again, I'm just pointing out there that she indeed, with her own words, said that she does not approve of me. And I continue, "You believe I am a false teacher with false motives and that God is against me. And I believe God is for me and is proud of me. You believe you are doing the work of God to oppose me. And I believe you are opposing the work of God by standing against me. Persis, one of us is terribly wrong. And one of us is sinning awfully against God and each other. My hope is not that you will go back to India, but that God will grant one of us humility and repentance towards Himself and each other for our sins against the other. Until then, I am willing to wait on God because I do love you very much and I miss you and the unity of heart we had in the very beginning. I love you very much. May God help us and grant us with reconciliation." This just came right out of the Spirit of Christ for me, for my wife. I felt such compassion, even though she has basically assaulted me, telling me that she wants to wash her hands of my blood and warning me, and I'm doing all this stuff calculated to build my own empire. I mean, just some of the things that she has said have been so outrageously false and hurtful. It's just been horrible. But I feel absolutely no resentment, no need to concern myself with this at all anymore, and I feel as if she's never said any of those things, especially if God grants her, and I know He will, to come to repentance. Daniel's prayer was answered, I believe, on the 21st day by the angel Gabriel, and it said that his prayer was heard in the beginning, but that because he had to fight off one of the, I guess, Persian spiritual forces, the ruler of the power of air in the area of Persia, it took him 21 days to get there to answer his prayer. And I just happened to begin to realize, wow, my heart has just been so blessed with compassion for my wife this morning. And then I started realizing it's been 21 days. How awesome would this be if God would answer this prayer and grant my wife repentance? And I actually mean sincerely when I write this, that if there's anything I need to repent of, I will. I've been praying this for weeks. And God has made it clear to me that He will deliver us in this situation, that He will take down these bronze iron gates. He will remove the barriers. He will remove the mountains before me. And I'm believing Him for it. Whether there are some on mine or all on hers, I'm just believing God. For Him, I have come to realize that through this terrible difficulties with my wife, there's nobody on this planet that I love more than her. Not my children, not my parents, not my friends, not my anybody, nobody except for God. And He's not actually on the planet except by spirit. And whatever comes from her hurts me far worse than anybody else can bring. I mean, it's not even on. And that's another thing that's helped me, is that what could anybody else possibly say? I thank God for this. But what could anybody else possibly say to hurt me after what I've now gone through with my own wife? There's nobody else that could say anything, not anything. Now, I've already been called all the names. They don't even register on the radar anymore after the way I've had these things said to me by my own wife, the one who I gave so much for and love so much. So I see that God has allowed a war. He showed me 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, that while the war between the house of David and the house of Saul lasted a long time, the house of David grew stronger and stronger. Indeed, I have grown stronger and stronger by this. It has been something that has definitely strengthened me. And so has it been good? Has it been a good thing that God would allow my wife to be turned against me so that I could find a level of trust that is even higher than I ever expected, that I can continue to work in a ministry and do a work for Him that even has wonderful deeds He's done in my marriage, in spite of the fact that it looks like my marriage is completely on the rocks and doomed to fail and there's zero unity? I mean, again, this isn't something like we can't agree on how much sex to have or how much money to spend or where to take our next vacation or what to do with children. It isn't the normal things that people fight about. That Persis and I, we don't fight about any of those things. We don't really fight. We just have complete disagreement. And we can't even talk to each other regarding spiritual matters. But when a wife says she believes you are doing this to honor yourself, she's calling me a liar. She's calling me a heretic, a false teacher. If she were right about what she's saying, it's the ultimate difference. It's the difference between God and Satan. It's the difference between a child of God and a child of the devil. It's that big of a deal. It's like it can't get much worse than that. You could have some doctrinal differences and still be okay. But when you begin to go down to the motive of heart and you begin to question who's directing the heart of your religion and your life, and it comes down to it's either good or evil, God or the devil, that is the ultimate separation. Terrible. And yet I have had to choose to believe in faith what God has said to me, that He will deliver me from this. I'm believing Him with every fiber, and I have been. And I have been waiting and asking God to bring a miracle of repentance into my wife's heart, to show her. And I've asked Him to give her dreams. I've asked Him, you know, like Joseph and Mary, when Joseph wanted to really believe that Mary was a harlot. And Joseph had no other reason to believe differently until the angel of the Lord comes to him in a dream. And I've been praying that God will help me to do that. And actually that God would help me in some way, whatever He wants. And I said, Lord, You can do it however You want. I believe You for it. So I'm very excited to believe God. And I'm also willing to wait, no matter how long it takes. I'd love to see God do, as He's been doing in my life, everything by numbers. God seems to do everything in my life by exact, precise days. The fact that we made up the last time after 10 days, and God showed me that scripture in Revelation on the day 8, and I began to wonder, wow, Lord, is this going to end on the 10th day? And then it did, without me having to do anything except for to step into the peace that morning that he gave me. It's incredible for me to be making recordings about, wow, you know, almost 6 years ago, I gave a full surrender to God. And I'm looking down at the date, making the recording, and all of a sudden I realize the day I'm making the recording is October 30th, 2015, the sixth anniversary of the day I gave everything to God in surrender. I was amazed by that. And I had been talking about how I'm getting ready to step into my seventh year, and I believe God for good things, and it's going to be like the year of God in my life. The year of man is over, having no idea the day I was making the recording was the sixth anniversary. Then on July 30th, 2017, just a few days ago, 2 days ago, I put up a video entitled Trusting God Through Parental Alienation. And in that video, I included a clip from court where my attorney is defending me against my ex-wife. And in the recording, the attorney mentions her initial plea being filed on July 30th, 2010 with all these accusations against me. So the message is about all these accusations that have come against me. And then I see a comment. This guy says, Mike, do you realize that the day you're making this message is the seventh anniversary to the day of the day that your wife, your ex-wife filed this petition with all these accusations against you? And I was like, wow, I had no idea because I hadn't been paying attention to the dates. The three greatest events in my life, my Lord's Gym battle, my full surrender to God, which then led to a divorce, and then my going to India and coming home from India with my wife through the visa process, my new wife that God had given me, all occurred in 9 months to the day. God has not done anything in my life by accident. I have more evidence, I think, than any person I've ever actually personally known that God is so sovereign, we can't even begin to understand it. So in control. He hits dates with me. He had me be homeless for 120 days exactly. And hit the day to the day of when he told me I could actually move into this house. So I see all of this amazing providence of God in my life. And I just rest in it. And I'm just so thankful that God is doing these things. And I can rest in it. And I say, okay, God, continue to do this. Continue to bring yourself glory and honor. And when I've seen God do things like this in my life, over and over and over and over, particularly when you look at my remarriage and how he hit all these exact precise periods of 40s and 7s and 40s and 7s and 40s and 7s, the two most popular numbers in the Bible, and God did every single one of them. Every single event, that major event that took place in our marriage, took place in a series of 40s and 7s. It's amazing. It's almost, I think if I recall, they were alternating 40s and 7s. There'd be a 40, then a 7, a 40, then a 7, a 40, then a 7. It's just amazing. So, for this to happen, I trust God. The key is for me to stay out of the way and to continue to trust God to do what only He can do. And I hope and pray. I just feel such compassion for my wife. I miss my wife. I want to be back reunited with my wife. I want to hug her. I want to kiss her. But I want more than that. I want us to have spiritual unity where we can sit down and read the Bible together, where we can pray together. She doesn't even pray with me, and she doesn't read the Bible with me. She won't participate in the ministry. She doesn't help me with the book. She doesn't do anything. She basically despises everything I'm doing in my ministry and in my relationship with God, in my spiritual practices, and yet she wants to give me kisses and hugs and go where places with me and all that, and I'm just like, I don't understand how you can do this. It just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. My prayer and belief and faith is that God will work this out. And I just feel so hopeful that God is going to do this, and that maybe even today, maybe even now, as Persis finishes sleeping, God can give her a dream and shake her up and show her that she's standing against the Lord's servant. But I know God is working all this together for the good, and He allows all these things to happen, and I see the good. I see the strength coming in my heart. The faith, the willingness to suffer, even at the hands of my own wife. The willingness to be called a heretic and somebody who's trying to honor. I mean, honestly, to me, other than to say you don't have faith in God, the worst thing you could say to somebody like me is that you're working for your honor instead of Him. I mean, that is so detestable. Especially after all that I went through and God crushed me so much of my desire to be honored by men. To now turn around and be accused by the one who knows you the best. You know, you live with her every day, and for her to say to you that, to be turned against you like this, to say that you're just doing all this for your own honor, wow, what an absolute sword to the heart. Such a painful, painful sword to the heart. I realize that. There's not much she could have said to me other than to accuse me of physically abusing her or something like that, or, you know, or having an affair or whatever, the things that my ex-wife accused me of. But there's not anything spiritually worse I can think of than to say to me either, you don't have faith in God, you live in unbelief, or to say what she has said, which is, you're just doing all of this for your own honor. You want to be the savior of the world. You want me to say you poop gold. You want me to say Michael is the greatest thing in the world. These are actual words that she spoke to me. And oh my goodness, that is such a dagger in the heart. I hear Jesus Christ saying, I honor my Father and you dishonor me. That's exactly what I hear. And I thank God that Jesus Christ suffered these things so that I can know that I too can suffer them. A student is not above his teacher, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. It's one thing when it comes from strangers. It's another thing when it comes from your wife. But enough about this. I've captured as much as I can, and I'm believing God for a miracle and reconciliation. May it be in Jesus' name.